It's always great when we have a missionary come. You know, in the Bible, the Apostle Paul would show up at a church. I don't know how they introduced the Apostle Paul, but when we have missionaries come, it's like Paul's come. It's like a missionary's come from someplace else to share with us what's going on in the field where they have been. And that is the case with Ruth. Ruth is one of our missionaries that we support here. She's a missionary in Poland to Polish people. And her coming this time was kind of an impromptu deal. She has something that happens in country where she's got to have a, what do you call that?
I'll explain it.
Oh, she's going to explain it. Well, anyway, it was, and she couldn't get back here for another year and a half or 2 years, and so I thought, well, we better have Ruth speak then while she's here. So that's why she's come kind of impromptu. Next week, I will be preaching. The following week after that, Tom Ward, another one of our missionaries, will be here. Now, he was scheduled to come, and so we're looking forward to Tom and his son Micah, who are also missionaries to Muslim people in Pakistan and in that part of the world over there. But anyway, Ruth, the Lord bless you as you come. All right.
Szczęśliwego Nowego Roku wszystkim. Happy New Year to everyone. So before I share a little bit about what's going on in Poland and just some things that are on my heart, I would like to suggest something that I don't know if you've ever done this during the church service, but it's something our church did in Poland during the election time in last June. And as a church, we broke up into smaller groups, and since we're naturally in smaller groups, I thought maybe it would be good to pray for our country. As Pastor even mentioned, too, I mean, we need to pray for our leaders, and I think on the 6th is a big day. I'm not sure. I don't know if anybody knows exactly what's going to happen, but it just that I think we would pray for this country, pray for the leaders who are born again, that they would be sensitive to the Holy Spirit during this time, and that I don't know what God's ultimate plan is for this country, but I know it's the best one. But we as a church and individuals, I think we have the responsibility to pray for our country. And so I'd encourage, just for a couple of minutes, for those of you who are there together, and if some who are on their own, if someone wants to join them, to just pray as God leads for this country. I think when with the people of God come together to pray, big things happen. And so I encourage you to do that. We'll do that here as well. I'll start out with a prayer, and then you guys can go ahead and continue praying. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the privilege of being able to come before you. And we have the freedom, Lord, in this country to be able to worship openly and pray openly. And God, I pray that you would guide our prayer time right now, that you would do amazing things, not only in this country, but in each of us, Father. Amen. So go ahead and pray as... One of the things that came to mind was Psalm 63, where we that our hearts would hunger for the living God, individually, but also as a church. And that's the prayer that I want for myself, and encourage you, whether it's this prayer or other that God would give us a longing for him more than anything else. I think this year we're going to be facing, and I speak even for myself in Poland, there's a lot of division there as well. And we're facing similar things there, but that we would grow in our faith, in our love for Jesus, that we wouldn't be ashamed. This is a prayer that a pastor prayed at the prayer march here in the States earlier, last year. I guess it's the second, in the following year already. But one of the things that stood out to me is that we would stand unashamed of identifying with Jesus. I think more and more, as time goes by, we're going to be faced with that, whether we stand for him. There's not going to be so much the middle ground, I believe. I think we need to make, just that we would encourage one another to do that. It's not going to, sometimes it won't be easy. Many times it won't be easy, but may we find ourselves faithful. All right. So on to the next thing. So for those of you who don't know, I serve and live in Poznan, Poland. And Poznan is situated, actually it's closer to Berlin than to Warsaw. A lot of times people think that Poland is somewhere in Siberia, away from everybody else, and you know, it's always cold. It's not the case. But Poznan is a city, within the city limits is about 600,000 people, and with this, the surrounding area is about 1.2 million people. And as far as we know, of course, God ultimately knows how many born-again believers there are in that area, but as far as we know, there are around 800 believers. And so there's a lot of work to be done in our city. But I want to give some highlights and maybe some blessings that I've seen over this past year and share them with you. First of all, I just thank my Savior, Jesus, for dying on the cross for me, for giving me the chance to live with him forever. That's something I don't ever want to take for granted, and I know I have too many times. But secondly, I just thank God for the family that he's given me. This wasn't a planned trip necessarily to come so soon, but part of it is that Poland, I have a residence card, a visa residence card, and it expires on the March 1st. And once the process starts for a new card, it can take, last time it took a year and a half, it could take up even to 2 years, and I'm technically not to leave the country when that's happening. And so it just made sense for me to come now, just not knowing what's going to happen with the whole visa process. And with the whole pandemic situation, everything is so behind and messed up in the government office. It already was, but it just made it even more challenging. So it just made sense to come here. And plus, so much happens online, even in Poland, that I can continue with some of that from here. And I want to just thank God for the family, the church family that he's given me in Poznan. Our name is Amazing Grace. It's in English, even though it's a Polish church. And I mentioned this earlier when I was here last year, but we chose Amazing Grace in English, because in Polish, when you Google Amazing Grace in Polish, in Poznan, it immediately sends you to we would call it a cult of Mary. It's Mary's grace that is shown to us, not Jesus. And so we didn't want to connect, of course, ourselves with that, but also we wanted to remind ourselves why we are where we are today. It's because of God's amazing grace in our lives. It's nothing that we've done. And we want to remember that when new people come to our church, that grace is the same for them as well. And so that's a big reason why we stuck with the English, because, and that's a familiar phrase anyway. But our church, as I mentioned, there are very few believers really in our area. And we want to be one of the communities that God uses to make a difference in Poznan. We have about, somewhere between 30 and 40 people that come. We almost have about half our children that attend, which is pretty exciting. On October 4th, we had like the first step to become an official church, at least officially in the government's eyes. And then 2 weeks later, we weren't allowed to meet again in person. So the first step has been made. We aren't yet official, but the process has started. But of course, with the pandemic, you can plan things, but things can be very different in a very short time. So, but we had the Baptist Council come, and we signed everything officially. And so we're excited to be a part of. We have a core group of 19 adults and 13 children. We have more than that come, but we have to be at least 15 people in Poland to become an official church. And so we met the criteria, and we're excited. And we're, even through the whole craziness of just the last weeks not being able to meet in person, we've been able to connect, and I'll explain a little bit how we do that. Another highlight for this year is that three people have been baptized, and the last baptism happened the week before the next lockdown we got. And so we're thankful for the timing on that. And I wanted to kind of mention a little bit, too, of what our church services look like. We have so we have time together where we talk with each other. We have coffee. And then we have worship time. And then we have always every week we have a prayer time for another church in the local area. And so we contact that church and we ask for their prayer requests. And that way we can be praying for one another. And the other churches have joined to do that as well. And even though we have some differences, we want to be together on making a difference in Poznan. And then we have a time of testimony, we say, or how God is working today. So we always have somebody sharing. Even online now, we do that. And then we have got the message time and then discussion time afterwards on the message. And so that's kind of what it looks like on Sunday mornings for us. As I mentioned, we have almost half of the congregation are kids. Our oldest is 14. The youngest is not even a month old. And so it's been an exciting thing to see. Just the ministry among the kids. I mean, I'm part of the Sunday school rotation group. That's not necessarily a gifting. I love children, but to teach them in Polish, you know, that can be interesting, but they're gracious. And I know that it's important. And I grow even doing this, so... another highlight I've been a part of Gospel Joy Choir for many years, but because of this year, we haven't been allowed to do any events, no concerts, nothing normal, can't even have rehearsals regularly. We were having them for a while in the summer when things opened up a little bit, and just to make clear that gospel, even if it's a gospel choir, that does not mean everybody is born again in the choir. Actually, most are not. Born again. We have atheists, we've got agnostics that are a part of the choir. But there is a core group of us who are born again believers who we met and decided we need to do something even during this pandemic time. We decided to do a worship evening for anybody who wanted to come. And really, we were thinking it's more for our choir, but we also wanted to include other people in there. So we did that once a month. And of course, very limited how many people would come, but we praise God for those times even then. And we also, there's a movement, our ministry leader and his family, they have started a movement called Evangelical Poland. So the evangelicals in Poland, we are 0.2%. In other words, we barely exist. And so how do we get to be more visible? In October, just before the lockdown, we had 117 pastors and ministry leaders from all over Poland come together to talk about, okay, well, how can we, as born-again believers, as evangelical churches, come together to make even more of an impact in Poland? We know that this is a huge challenge, but we're excited to see the potential and what can happen. And so we're thankful that many came. And right before the lockdown. So we praise God for allowing us to do that. And we were supposed to have a ladies' conference before the lockdown happened. It didn't happen, unfortunately. Well, fortunately, it still happened, but it happened all on Zoom. And this is an evangelistic event where we want to reach out to the women in Poznan, women from all walks of life. And this was our first event like this, and we had 39 that came, so we were encouraged by that. And the topic was fear, which we felt that's pretty relevant for now. And we invited two Christian counselors to come and share professional view, but also from a biblical view on how one can live in life with hope in Jesus, trust in Jesus in the midst of fear. And so we were encouraged by how it, and we had a follow-up time for those who wanted it for 5 weeks after that. And we didn't have as many as we'd hoped, but we had a few. And so we think that's important to be able to continue that connection with people afterwards. Of course, we have our Word Zone Bible study group every week, and that it was in person. During the summer, we had a study on Galatians. We there were several people from the study who wanted to pay for an advertisement on Facebook so that it would be more widespread, and so we had an incredible amount of people show up just randomly. Of course, we know God led them there, but we had up to 35, 40 people sometimes. And so we had that for a few weeks, and then we went into James. We studied James, and then the lockdown happened. But we've continued on Zoom, and we've had up to 20 people. I mean, not as many as we'd like, of course, but we're encouraged the fact that there's even that many coming every week, and we're studying the Gospel of John right now. And so that's always, for me, it's always in a highlight. One of my friends, I'm not a believer yet, but she's been coming regularly. She's amazed by what we're studying. And we always discuss the Bible study time afterwards together, so that's been encouraging. And I want to kind of switch a little bit and just talk about, I mean, this is something God has been working on my heart recently. It just, you know, because it's not a given that because I'm a missionary that my heart breaks for those who don't know Jesus. And I'm just being honest. Like, and when I realize and I evaluate that I don't see that, sometimes I ask God, do break my heart for those people who don't know Jesus. And you know what? He back in October, we had, Poland, there was huge protests because the government decided to, literally from one day to the next, they made a law to pretty much ban abortion completely. Of course, I'm for that. But the problem, the way they did it, the Polish people, they were so taken aback by it. And the Polish nation, if you tell them not to do something, they will react. That's just the reality. And people, so now instead of, you know, they went out to the streets, I mean, for 2 weeks straight. So I don't know how well you can see, but there's that top right corner picture. It's pretty much all black. That's all people downtown Poznan. Striking against the law, basically saying, and now they're going to the extreme of saying, we want abortion with no limits. And so it's been heartbreaking to see that. Like, I've found myself more than once walking through groups like this where most of them I see they're just young people, 16, 17-year-olds, saying, we want abortion with no limits. And I'm like, do they even know what they're talking about, what they're even wanting? But it's not just about abortion. There were so many other issues that have come up. But man, talk about an incredible opportunity to have conversations with people during that time. And God led many, many good conversations, hard ones with people that unbelievers, non-believers, because and believers. I mean, there's some believers who are very divided too. Like they were very against the ruling. There are some who are completely for it, and just within even our own little church. And so. But just even walking through those crowds, it just hit me, like, these people, most of them, they don't have, when there's not a goal or a purpose in life, they try to grab onto something, and this is something that gave them kind of a purpose, like, okay, now I can fight for something, and it just really broke my heart, and I thought, you know, that's not going to answer their longing, and I know that Jesus is the one that's going to answer. And I don't say that patently. I mean, those of us who trust Jesus, we believe that he is the one who is the hope for every person, not just for some, for everyone, anyone who accepts him. And contrary to what many people believe, Jesus, you know, because their view is so skewed because of religion, in Poland, there are more and more people moving away from the Catholic Church, and which means moving away from God, because of the just many horrible things they've seen happen within the church. And so they have this idea that anything to do with Jesus, well, he's a condemning person. You know, like he's not someone to even consider because, you know, they have a skewed view of him. And like, but John 3:17, it says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order to have the world that the world might be saved through him." And there is no black, I mean, this is black and white when it comes to the gospel. There's, you know, whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And that is not a popular message, I think, pretty much anywhere in this world, or at least in the Western world. But it is the true message. And that's what we need to be sticking to and encouraging one another to stick to what is true. We're going to be facing more and more people who are saying, well, just everybody, just accept everything and everybody. In Poland, we see that more and more. The LGBT community has taken, there's a month in the every year in Poznan that's the focus of this whole month is teaching children, going into these different schools to teach them about the LGBT movement and, you know, just showing it. And so, of course, they are very anti-God regarding that. God loves everyone. It doesn't matter who and what kind of lifestyle, but he doesn't tolerate sin, no matter what kind of sin it is. And that's what we need, the message we need to be passing on to people. And one of the things that has been standing out in my mind a lot is being a light in this dark, because the world is going to get darker. I mean, the Bible talks about that, and I don't mean to be a pessimist, but it's the truth. But that means then the light of Jesus will shine even brighter in that dark world. But in order for us to be a light in our communities, we need to stay connected with the source of light, and that's Jesus. And like in Jesus says to his followers, which including those of us today who are his, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to the Father who is in heaven." It's not about getting glory to us. It's ultimately because of what God and Jesus has done for me, for us. That's why we want to be able to be a light. It's not about being good. We don't need more good people just for the sake of being good. Of course, it's good to do good things, but we need people who are transformed by the gospel. And I know Pastor Mike, he mentioned last week, only surrendered Christians will make an impact in this world. It's because the Holy Spirit is at work, and that's what's going to change the heart and convict the heart of others and ourselves is the gospel. And I wanted to talk about I want to pass on a challenge to myself and to you. So this is my team leader, ministry leader. He and his wife are they're like my family, basically. And a few months ago, we were just talking, a whole bunch of us from church were just sitting around and just talking. And he goes, "You know what? It just hit me. Pretty much everybody apart from my extended family, everybody I have contact with are believers," because he's the one that's spearheading the evangelical Poland. So he's got contacts with born-again believers all over the country. But it hit him. He goes, I don't have regular contact with unbelieving people. And so he goes, "I got to do something about that." And he loves basketball. And so he is playing basketball with two groups of guys two nights every week. And that's his way of connecting with people and trying to be a light to those people. And he challenged us as well, because when you're in ministry, it can be easy, especially if you're the main group, main people leading the church. It's very easy to stay just within believers. But the question is there someone in your life that you can be a light to? And if there isn't, ask God that he would bring people like that. And maybe there's some people who are not believers and maybe have not shown any more interest or any. Pray that God would start to open their eyes and change their hearts. And as I mentioned, like, it's going to seem like the world is just so dark around us and maybe sometimes even hopeless. I know those of us in Christ, we have that hope in us. But we can lose sight of that sometimes. But the truth is that light, Jesus, shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And we can always stick to that hope of no matter how dark or how hopeless it may seem in the world, because of Jesus, there is hope. And you know, so I wanted, and Pastor Mike mentioned this last week too, about praying consistently for somebody in your life who does not know Jesus. And I challenge you to commit for 30 days. I mean, it can be longer, but at least for 30 days, pray for at least one person every day and see what God does. Maybe he'll do something in that person's life, or maybe he'll do something in yours. And I'm saying this, that there are 5 girls that I'm committing to pray starting today for the next 30 days, because I want to see them come to Jesus. And so I'm saying that as an accountability thing, that I'm doing that. And I challenge you to be, if you're not already doing that. There's this last slide. I thought it was pretty appropriate. Like just before I came to Minnesota, this picture, Buk Istnieje, is just, it's a couple blocks from where I live. It's a roundabout near where my flat is. And I don't know who put this message up there, but it's pretty neat. It says, God exists and it cannot be proven. And it can be proven, sorry. It's not possible to prove that he doesn't exist. What will you tell him when you stand before him? I have no idea who put this up there. Usually if there's anything on bulletin board or billboards, it has some kind of icon that goes with it, and you can tell who puts it up there. But I thought, you know, and this being dark, and there's that light showing God does exist, and one day you will stand before him. And I want to challenge you, if you don't know Jesus and you're not sure what will happen, make it right today. Trust him as your Savior and your Lord. There's nothing better. Doesn't mean life is going to be wonderful and smooth, but it's full of hope, and there is joy no matter what happens. And so I just challenge you on that, praying for somebody, at least one person consistently for the next 30 days. And if there aren't people in your life already that aren't believers and that you have regular contact with, pray for that. Pray that God will give you those people. Thank you so much for allowing me to be here and to share. God bless you.
Please stand as we sing.